Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Brian Koberger.
This is an interesting piece. It's one that Howard Bloom is putting some light on over on Airmail, and it certainly caught my attention, and it probably has caught the attention of some of you as well. It speaks to the motive of Brian Koberger. What happened? Why did he do the crimes he allegedly committed? And there really hasn't been a great answer for it. But Howard Bloom has a theory. And it involves someone we've even had on our show, a very well-respected doctor, Dr. Catherine Ramsland, who he was studying under at DeSales University. Now, this is all theoretical. This is all from Howard Bloom's reporting. We cannot confirm any of this, but we're going to talk about this with some conjecture and just some what-ifs today, because he makes some valid points, and Howard's reporting is usually pretty good. If what he's about to talk about and what you're going to learn about in this piece in terms of some communications that have gone on are true, that's going to be interesting to see. Because it involves Brian Koberger and a better understanding, possibly, of the way he viewed his relationship with Catherine Ramsland, not in anything dirty or anything like that, but from the point of someone who may very well, you know, hold her in super high regard, which anyone, you know, should. But if criminal psychology and things in that nature are what you're interested in, forensic psychology and such, she would be like at the top of your list. She's great. And in no way, shape, or form do I think she has anything negative to do with this. I think she ends up being kind of another victim of their name being brought into this because of being close to Brian Koberger. So again, this is all conjecture. This is from a recent report from Howard Bloom. that brings up the idea of, well, could have this been something to impress her? Goberger? We've seen it before, John Hinckley. We'll get into all of it. In the comment section, leave me your thoughts on this. I don't know if this is way out or not, but Howard thinks differently and usually ahead of most. So I'll leave it at that. What we don't know, we don't know. But in the comments, let me know what you think. Press subscribe wherever you're listening to us, whether it be on the podcast platform. So wherever that is, press subscribe. On YouTube, hit subscribe. And please do check out our YouTube channel, Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, where you can comment on everything. And there's a lively, active, wonderful community of folks that are talking every day about these cases. So, hey, guys, really appreciate it. And thank you. If there's a part of this story that feels like it could be pulled straight out of a dark campus novel, the kind where the most promising student ends up being the most dangerous, it's this: Brian Koberger. The man accused of brutally murdering four University of Idaho students once studied under one of the most prominent experts in the world on serial killers, not just any expert. We're talking about the Catherine Ramsland. Professor, criminologist, author of more than 50 books on the minds of murderers, and yes, the woman who literally wrote the book on BTK. It's not a figure of speech. She co-authored Confession of a Serial Killer with Dennis Rader himself. That detail alone is enough to make people have their ears perk up a little bit. Koberger, criminal justice student from Pennsylvania, didn't just fall into Ramsland's class by accident. He studied under her while completing his graduate degree at DeSales University, a small Catholic university tucked away in Center Valley. It's not Harvard. It's not Columbia. It's the kind of place where a professor like Ramsland becomes the gravitational center for everyone serious about understanding criminal minds. And Koberger was very serious. Very, very serious. He earned his bachelor's degree in 2020, then stayed on to get his master's in criminal justice, which he completed in 2022. During that time, he took multiple courses taught by Ramsland, including forensic psychology, a field she's not only fluent in, but foundational to. According to public course materials and curriculum info, Koberger was assigned readings like Inside the Minds of Serial Killers and Confession of a Serial Killer. In other words, his academic journey wasn't just tangentially related to her work. It went straight through it. And to be clear, this was a teacher-student relationship. That's not conjecture. That's not internet sleuthing. Ramsland confirmed that she taught him. Hasn't said much else, but she taught him. We know that. The university confirmed it. There's no controversy about whether they knew each other in that context. What we don't know, and what's critical to draw a line around here, is whether there was any contact beyond that from Koberger to her. As of now, there are zero pieces of public evidence to suggest that there was. They're not friends. They were not collaborators. This was not some My Favorite Murder fan club gone rogue. It was academia. Assignments, readings, grades move along. Still, it's very easy to understand why people raise an eyebrow. Ramsland's professional history reads like a syllabus from the world's darkest book club. She's dissected the psychological blueprints of Ted Bundy, the vampire of Sacramento, and of course, Dennis Rader, the BTK killer, whom she interviewed extensively and co-authored his biography. Her work doesn't just walk you through what these killers did. It gets down into why they did it, peeling back layer after layer of deviance, compulsion, and cold, methodical violence. So when you line that up next to Koberger, a guy who went from being a floundering teen battling heroin addiction to a lean, fit, obsessive academic focused on criminal minds, well, people start to connect the dots. The problem is not all the dots lead to real pictures. And this is where the danger of overreach comes in. It's one thing to say he admired her work. That's almost expected. I admire her work. I think anybody that knows anything about this should admire her work. She's a genius at it. It's another thing entirely to say that admiration fueled some sinister motive. That leap doesn't land unless there's evidence. And as of now, in the public, there isn't. But Howard Bloom is talking about some things that he thinks he has some knowledge on. There's been a lot of talk about how Koberger's studies under Ramsland might have planted the seeds for something darker. That's because he read about serial killers. Allegedly, he became one. And studying BTK somehow gave him a playbook, but anyone who's ever taken a true crime course or ever heard Helter Skelter in college will tell you that's not how it works. Academic interest in criminal behavior doesn't create criminal behavior. As criminologist James Allen Fox put it, studying criminology is not going to make you a criminal, and it's not going to make you a better criminal. If anything, students in this field are often hyper-aware of how criminals are caught, not how to get away with it. But what makes this particular academic relationship feel eerie isn't anything Ramsland did. It's what Koberger would allegedly go on to do. He left to sales in 2022 and enrolled in a PhD program in criminology at Western State University, just across the border from where the murders took place in Idaho. And suddenly, this once obscure student was being painted across national headlines as a suspected mass murderer. And naturally, people started pulling up every connection he ever had to crime, psychology, and anyone who'd ever appeared on a true crime podcast. Ramsland's name was one of the first to surface, and what did she do? Nothing, allegedly. She didn't go on TV. She didn't try to reframe the narrative. She didn't write an op-ed to distance herself. She did what most reasonable academics would do when their former student becomes the center of a murder case. She stayed quiet. I even asked her, did we talk anything about Koberger? Nope. Okay. Respect that. We've talked about many other cases on this program with her. When asked for comment, she would decline. She didn't speculate. She didn't offer any insight into his behavior or history. She was silent on it, and I respect that. I totally get why. Take all of this Howard Bloom theory out of the picture. Yeah, I mean, you're too close to something. Let it play out. Now, people interpret silence however they want, but in a legal context and in academia, silence is often the smartest and safest option. Ramsland isn't just some public figure. She's a professor with decades of experience in criminal justice. She knows that anything she says could get twisted in a headline or dragged into court. So for now, nothing. And that in itself, I mean, I don't know if it speaks volumes, but it says something. Not about guilt or knowledge of complicity in any way, shape, or form, but about caution. It's worth noting, too, that Ramsland has continued her work in many other cases. She's appeared as a commenter on ongoing investigations like the Rex Heuermann case. She's stayed active in her field. She hasn't vanished. She's just chosen not to engage with the media circus surrounding Koberger himself. And frankly, that's a decision many in her position would make and should. So where does that leave us? Well, with facts, Brian Koberger was a graduate student in criminal justice. Catherine Ramsland was one of his professors. He studied her work, read her books. There's no public evidence of a relationship beyond that. No communications have been confirmed. No motives have ever been declared. But Howard Bloom seems to have some ideas on this. I wonder what those are. I wonder what information he has about all this. The story about the professor and the pupil. What we know is enough to draw a boundary. And whether that boundary holds or cracks under the weight of new revelations, it's what we're about to explore next. The claim starts with a report published in Airmail, written by journalist Howard Bloom. According to Bloom, sources who remain unnamed, but are described as close to the case, Koberger was still in contact with Ramsland long after graduating. Specifically, he alleges that Koberger sent emails to Ramsland in the days leading up to the murders of four University of Idaho students being murdered, and again in the days following the crime. According to Howard, that's a big claim. It's the kind that understandably gets people buzzing. But here's a critical piece. There's there's no publicly available evidence confirming that these emails exist. No screenshots, no subpoenas, no mention in any court filing, no confirmation from law enforcement or defense or Ramsland herself. That doesn't necessarily mean the emails didn't happen, though. And in a case this heavily scrutinized, as this one, with discovery, filings, grand jury motions, and press leaks happening almost weekly, it's notable that nothing has surfaced to verify that these communications existed. But a lot has been under gag for a long time, and a lot will remain under that until the trial actually starts. But we are seeing pieces come out, piece by piece, that we didn't know about before. It makes you wonder. When we see a witness list, will Catherine be on it? When we see evidence, are we going to end up seeing these communications? What do they mean? So we're left with a claim made by a veteran reporter, printed in reputable outlets, but unconfirmed by any other known source. That's not a dismissal of the report by any means, but it's also not a confirmation. It's an open file, a detail still waiting to be corroborated. The Airmail piece goes even further. Blum reports that shortly after Koberger's arrest in December of 2022, Dr. Ramsland allegedly picked up the phone and called Brian's mother. Not a text, not a statement through counsel, a direct phone call, according to Blum. The offer was described as wisdom and guidance to a family of a former student now facing murder charges. According to the article, Ramsland's offer was welcomed by Koberger's. In fact, it goes a step further. The family allegedly refused to meet with their son's first court-appointed attorney in Pennsylvania until Ramsland gave her blessing. That, again, according to Howard Blum. Now, that's a serious assertion. It suggests that Ramsland became more than a former professor. That she was, at least for a moment, maybe just in a phone call. A kind of advisor, a bridge between panic and procedure. But again, there's no external confirmation of the interaction, no statement from Ramsland, no acknowledgement from the Koberger family, and no mention of her in any filings related to Brian's extradition from Pennsylvania to Idaho. That silence could mean a number of things, but what it definitely means is this: as of now, we don't have independent verification that that call ever took place. If you're the professor, and I'm certainly not speaking for her, but I could see if you found yourself being that close to this case and, you know, there's a family out there that's struggling to figure out how do I deal with this, and they've seen a lot of experiences, a lot of people, a lot of families that have been in such an experience, I'd reach out. Those people are innocent people going through a horror of their own. So, not saying she did, didn't. I don't know the answer to it. Would not be a bad thing if she did. Certainly none of what we're talking about paints Catherine in any sort of negative light here. It's more so victim of circumstance if these allegations from Howard are true. Blum also writes that over the months following the arrest, Ramsland allegedly continued to stay in contact with the family, not just through occasional check-ins, but regularly. One of Koberger's sisters, he claims, is writing a book, an insider's account of the family's experience, and Ramsland has allegedly been consulted during the process. There's also a detail that reads almost like something out of a drama series. The Koberger family, according to Blum, asked Ramsland to accompany them to a bed and breakfast in Boise, Idaho, where they plan to stay during the trial. That invitation reportedly was extended so Ramsland could support them during what promises to be a brutal courtroom ordeal. But again, let's zoom out. None of this has been backed by court documents. None of it has been confirmed by Ramsland, her publisher, or anyone publicly tied to the case. And when Blum reached out to Ramsland directly for comment on these claims, on all of it, she reportedly didn't respond, which, let's be honest, is probably the smartest legal move that she could make. Not that any of this points her in any sort of troubling light. The silence here has been consistent from day one. From the moment Koberger's name hit the headlines and the press began linking him to former Professor Ramsland, and she's declined every interview request about the topic.
She didn't comment to Newsweek. She didn't comment to Oxygen. She didn't respond to Bloom, and she has said nothing to us on that topic. And despite being a regular guest and commentator on true crime cases over the years, she's made no public remarks about Koberger, not on social media, no print, not in any televised appearance. Again, whether it's self-imposed desertion, legal advice, or both, it's there. Of course, from a procedural standpoint, the silence makes total sense. She did communicate with Koberger after he left DeSales, before or after the murders. That could potentially make her a witness. And if she's spoken to his family since his arrest, she might have information that's considered relevant to the case, particularly if it were to come up in court. Silence in a situation like this isn't just desertion, it's survival. But for the public, especially for those following the case closely, that silence creates a frustrating tension because there's no doubt that Koberger studied her work. There's no question that Ramzan is a figure of major influence in the field of forensic psychology. And if even half of what Bloom reports is true, that there was some sort of ongoing communication, that Ramzan played a behind-the-scenes role in the early days of the legal process, then her presence in the story isn't just background. Again, it becomes part of the fabric of how this case has unfolded. Still, it's important to draw the line sharply between what we know and what's been suggested. Koberger took her classes. He read her books. That's confirmed. Anything beyond that, emails, phone calls, bed and breakfast visits, that's all reported by a single journalist, citing unnamed sources. Until something from the court record or from the parties involved verifies those claims, they remain unconfirmed. And that's really the point of all of this. It's not about dismissing the reports. It's not about defending or condemning anyone. It's about making a clear distinction between what's fact and what's still floating in that gray area of allegedly. Because in a case like this, where the stakes are as high as they come, where four young lives were taken, and where one man's life may hang in the balance, clarity matters. If this story is ever going to be fully understood, we have to keep separating what's proven from what's presumed. And there's so much of that out there, and we don't like to go into that territory very much here on this show, unless it comes up from somebody very respected, very good journalist who knows a lot about this case and has had very accurate reporting in the past. And that's why we're making note of this one. It's not just some YouTube theory or TikTok meme or somebody saying a bunch of crazy things on Reddit. It's coming from Howard Bloom. So there's that. As we continue on, we're going to get to the heart of Howard Bloom's theory, the idea that this wasn't just a random act of violence or a case of rage or rejection or even opportunity. The next part of the story is going to take us and ask some darker questions. What if the killings were meant to send a message? Not to the victims, but to someone else entirely. So here we are, where theory meets motive, where motive meets the part of the human mind that doesn't always behave in ways that we can map out clearly. The facts, as we've already covered, are stark and horrifying. Four University of Idaho students killed in their home in the middle of the night. No known history between the accused Brian Koberger and the victims. No text messages. No prior altercations, nothing that would instantly scream motive. And when motive is that elusive, the vacuum left behind tends to get filled with speculation, guesswork, and in some cases, stories that sound like they came from the cutting room floor of a psychological thriller. Enter Howard Bloom, an experienced journalist, a former New York Times reporter, and the author behind the airmail feature that's drawn both attention and skepticism for its proposed theory on why Brian Koberger may have done what he's accused of doing. Bloom doesn't accuse Ramzan of wrongdoing. He doesn't suggest she encouraged anything at all. Instead, he presents a chilling hypothesis that Koberger allegedly committed these murders in part to demonstrate his mastery of the criminal mind. Not to law enforcement, not to himself, but to his former professor, Catherine Ramsland. I find this interesting because from the beginning, the motive that I kept coming back to was he's doing this because he thinks he can do it better than anyone else. And if he got away with it, he'd have knowledge that was far greater than anyone else out there. Catherine Ramsland has a lot of knowledge on this topic, obviously not from committing murders, but from being around those sort of people. And if Koberger could top that, if he could be the best in the room beyond even Catherine Ramsland, he'd have to go to do something really crazy and extreme now, wouldn't he? He'd have to live it. Go through the process. And live to tell about it. Now, was that goal to and live to tell about it? Here's the thing. Did he want to live to tell about it and not get caught? Did he want to live to tell about it and go through the whole procedure in the courtroom, trying to get away with murder? What was the ultimate goal, if any of this was his goal? I think maybe he was a little bit too ambitious, thinking he'd get away with it, thinking that he would end up teaching about this mysterious unsolved crime by this person that nobody ever found. But Koberger could stand there in class and teach how to get away with it, how he got away with it. But that part about that doesn't get into the classroom. It more so is, look at me, I figured out how this guy did this and got away with this. Look how smart I am. Hiding in plain sight, right in front of everybody else. He could hear other people talking about it all the time, too. Others going, wow, whoever pulled this off, that guy, he's smart. But he's not. But that might have been the goal. I don't know. I know we're kind of getting weird territory here, but I've kind of always had a feeling like that this whole time, and Howard Bloom's reporting on this, it's, I don't know, kind of confirmed some of my questions while also adding another element to it, Catherine Ramsland. And sometimes people like this wanting to show their idol, look how good I did, like a cat bringing a bird up to your doorstep. Offerings. Except in this case, it's for college students. Duh. I get the chills just thinking about this. According to Blum's reporting, Koberger wasn't just a former student. He was an acolyte. Someone who had reshaped his entire life, his body, his mind, his identity into a walking vessel of criminal justice theory. And Ramsland, in this narrative, she wasn't just his teacher. She was the ideal, the person whose work he admired, consumed, and wanted allegedly to impress. Bloom paints a picture of a man on a mission determined not just to commit murder, but to do in a way that would showcase everything he's learned, to show how the pupil had become the master, that he could go beyond reading about killers and become one. It's a disturbing proposition, and it's wrapped in the kind of psychological language that makes it sound, at least on the surface, possible, but is it plausible? Let's start with the concept. Someone committing a crime to impress another person. It is not unheard of. In fact, Blum compares Koberger's alleged mindset to that of John Hinckley Jr., who in 1981 attempted to assassinate President Ronald Reagan, not out of political ideology, but because he was obsessed with actress Jodie Foster. Hinckley believed that by committing a high-profile act of violence, Foster would notice him, maybe even admire him, and was a classic case of this delusion that some have, a condition where some believe another person, often a stranger or public figure, is secretly in love with them. I don't know how far this goes in his mind. Bloom doesn't go as far to say that Koberger had erotomania, which is what that is. But he clearly leans into the comparison. In his words, Koberger was allegedly driven by his own twisted erotomania, seeking not romantic love, but academic and emotional recognition from someone he deeply admired. The idea is that the crime wasn't about the victims themselves. It was about what the act represented, a gesture, a message, a final exam of sorts delivered in blood. In this version of the story, Koberger wasn't trying to hurt people he knew or hated. He was trying to prove a point to someone who may not have known he was trying to prove it. The problem is there are no pieces of evidence here so far that support this theory beyond the dramatic arc it offers. No email in which Koberger says he wants to impress Ramslin. No journal entry spelling out a plan to commit murder as an academic gesture. No statements to police, no conversations with friends, nothing that draws a direct line between admiration and motivation, at least not in any public record or official filing as of today, the 2nd of, where are we, in May of 2025. Just a few months before the trial is supposed to start. And if that evidence does exist, it has been introduced by prosecutors, or it hasn't been introduced by prosecutors. That's an important distinction, because while journalists can chase stories and publish theories, prosecutors actually have to build their case on what's admissible, provable, and ultimately convincing to the jury. And so far, in the public sphere, the prosecution has stayed silent on the question of motive. Not a word in the probable cause affidavit, not a hint in court arguments, just silence. Strategic, maybe intentional, but certainly silence nonetheless. So what does it all mean? The defense has been equally quiet, and for good reason. If you're defending a man accused of 4 first-degree murders, you don't go around offering motives. You poke holes in the evidence. You challenge procedures. You question DNA collection and cell phone mapping. You don't build a narrative. You unravel theirs. That silence is also reinforced by the court's gag order, which prevents both sides from speaking publicly about their details of the case, further sealing off any discussion of motive from making it to the press, as of now. So what are we left with? A theory that sits in limbo. Detailed, provocative, yes, but unsupported by direct evidence, which brings us to the experts. Forensic psychologists who've weighed in on other cases, at least those not bound by court orders, tend to take a more conventional view. They point to behavioral patterns that align more closely with resentment, rejection, or social isolation. Some have suggested Koberger may have been driven by incel-like ideology. I've been waving my hand on that one for a while. Fueled by an inability to form relationships and an internalized rage toward people who represented what he could not have. Others highlight early reports that Koberger had messaged one of the female victims multiple times through social media, allegedly receiving no response. That kind of rejection, repeated and ignored, can trigger someone already battling feelings of invisibility. What they don't do is point to Ramslin. No licensed psychologist has gone on record supporting the impress the professor theory as a primary or plausible motive. Not because it's impossible, but because it's unproven, and in the field of psychology, especially forensic psychology, speculation without data is just storytelling. Even Ramslin herself has had nothing to say about it. Despite multiple opportunities to confirm or deny, she remains silent. She didn't respond to Blum's email or Bloom's emails either. She hasn't issued a statement. She hasn't gone on record to acknowledge or refute the theory, which, again, from a legal standpoint, makes sense. If she did speak to those statements and they were later contradicted by evidence, she could find herself put into the legal process or maybe even called as a witness. So here's where we land. Bloom's theory is provocative. It has a narrative weight. It connects dots in a way that feels dramatically satisfying, but it leaves a space, and it lives in a space, that exists outside the courtroom and outside the confirmed record. It may one day be supported by evidence, maybe raised by the prosecution in trial, or it may turn out to be a big psychological red herring, something that made sense on paper but didn't hold up under cross-examination. It makes it resonate is the eerie logic it carries, the idea that someone might want to prove themselves to a mentor by committing the very crimes that mentor studies. But logic is not the same as truth. And in this case, with so much pain, so many unanswered questions, and so much still hidden from the public view, it's crucial to stay grounded in what we know versus what we all think might explain it all. Give me your thoughts in the comments on this case. Is this a valid theory? Again, consider the source. It's Howard Bloom. It's not an internet theory. It's not a meme. It's not a TikTok. It's not any. It's Howard Bloom. Makes you wonder what's going to come out. If this drops soon, is anybody going to be surprised? I'm not. But it is quite a theory. A theory in a case that's already one of the most complicated, complex, dark, and disturbing stories that we have heard in a very, very long time. Press subscribe wherever you're watching or listening to the podcast. If you're watching us on YouTube, please press subscribe there so you don't miss any of our conversations and any of these reports that we give you each and every day on so many cases and the polls and everything else we got there for you. We're going to have a premium section there too soon, and we're going to start doing a lot more lives as well. So press subscribe so you don't miss any of that. And please comment. Let me know what you think. Until then, I'm Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Craving non-stop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. In a world where the darkest secrets lie just beneath the surface.
Well, they said it was an accident, but the evidence says otherwise.
Where hidden killers roam unnoticed in the shadows.
I think you would definitely be looking at a blend of toxic, very bad narcissistic personality traits, and they will be vengeful and possibly resort to violence.
Join Tony Bruschi as he uncovers the truth behind the most chilling cases.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence clearly says otherwise.
Each episode, we dig deep into the minds of those who commit the unthinkable.
To your point on narcissism, he thinks in his own mind how witty he is.
Yeah.
But he lost that jury. I was done with him in 2 minutes.
From unsolved mysteries to infamous crimes.
Geez, you've just talked about how you taught yourself how to do everything under the sun. I bet you did a YouTube video, how to best kill somebody with a knife.
Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi takes you where few dare to go.
How does someone with such a dark secret go unnoticed for so long?
With multiple new episodes every single day.
We're not just telling stories, we're seeking justice.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar. I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel.
Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.